is Canberra reporting. Yes, you're listening to Canberra reporting on Canberra FM, and today is a special long extended programme for 2 hours in place of the Wild Rover. So I'm Christina Connolly and my fellow presenter is Seamus Gallagher. Hello Seamus.
Hello Christina and good afternoon, and thanks to everybody for joining us here today on Lawlow Breach, the 1st of February. And you're all very welcome. We have a busy show, as Christina said. We're covering the general election in East Galway, and today is the last day we can cover because we're only here on the Saturday, and of course there's an embargo from Friday. So we're delighted to have, we have a number of interviews, and we're delighted to have Councillor Donna Killalea, Fianna Fáil, Minister Kieran Cannon, Fine Gael, David O'Reilly, Independent, coming to join us in the studio. We also have a phone linked in later on with Councillor Pete Roach of Fine Gael and also Louis O'Hara of Sinn Féin. We will also be covering, Christina has some great updates on the election coverage and on other stations, and also of course Brexit, because today and yesterday was a very historic, isn't that
yes,
right, Christina?
Yes, it was last night, yes.
Yes.
Another late night.
Another late night as well. So before we get into the programme itself, and the sponsors for today's programmes are Murphy Heating, we go out on WW Canberra FM on the World Wide Web, and we're also 92.4. If you want to contact, you can text us 083-468-1472. Folks, just want to say we're into the election, we're into the last week, just this day week it'll be all unfolding. Before we get into, and we're delighted to have Councillor Donna Killalea, you're very welcome.
Well, I suppose first of all, good morning Seamus and Christina, and that's right, I'm Donna Killalea and I'm from the Tuam electoral area.
Yes.
Some people refer to me as Mark, some people refer to me as Donna, and the people that don't like me refer to me as something else.
Right.
But we don't mind that, and I suppose to say good afternoon to your listeners, and I hope I'm not interrupting the Wild Rover time. That's something that I wouldn't want to do. And it's great to be back here in Canberra. I suppose I'm no stranger to Canberra, in that I came down here many, many, many times with my father.
Yes.
To visit the great PJ Mara one time. I used to bring Dad down here
yes.
to see him. They were great friends going back right into the 60s. And it's great to be back here with you again today in the studio. Yeah, it's lovely.
Great to have you. Great to have you, Councillor Killalea. And tell us, how is the campaign going?
Well, I think the campaign is going very well. We're right in the thick of canvassing. I suppose for your listeners out there, I was the last person
yes.
in the country to be added
to
the ticket. We're getting out there and we're meeting people. I won't get to meet everybody in the constituency, but I'm trying to get my name out there so people know what I am about.
Right.
I'm a farmer, a small farmer from Belclare,
in the
great parish of Cumbrae or Finn.
Yes.
And I also work as a transport manager with the City Bin Company there in Oranmore. So
all
I know
right.
about farming, and I know about business, and I know how people feel, and I want to represent those people in Dáil Éireann, and that's why I'm going forward for Fianna Fáil.
Right, okay, and I was just going to say that you represent Fianna Fáil, and we had your co-running candidate Anne Rabbit here last week. So tell us, what are the issues that you're facing on the doors?
Well, I think, personally, I'm knocking on an awful lot of doors.
Right.
And the two main issues really are rural isolation.
Right.
Is probably the first, is probably one of the biggest ones. And the crime related to that.
Right.
The second one then is on everyone's mind, and that's healthcare.
Right.
And very limited access to it.
Right.
I think when people out there get into the healthcare system and the public health system, they are well looked after, but it's getting through that journey and getting in the front door to see a consultant and start on the pathway to repairing yourself or getting yourself better. That's where the difficulty lies. But that and rural isolation are definitely the two biggest issues on the door.
And what would you suggest if you were elected as a TD to deal with those two issues?
Well, I think first of all we have to look at the under-resourcing of the Gardaí. I think that's number one.
Right.
For many people out there listening here today, I'm sure they've seen a very high visible armed support unit. They're the guys that go around in the big jeeps patrolling around Clare and Galway.
Right.
And we haven't seen those people on the ground, those members of the force on the ground, for the last 4 months, because they've been redeployed to Longford. The problem with that is that there's no high visibility there at the moment. We need to We need to resource that immediately in order to get those high visibility Gardaí back.
Right.
We also need to make sure and resource new Gardaí into community policing.
Right.
And I'm delighted that I've spoken to Micheál Martin the other day. We did agree that, you know, certainly we need to look at Gardaí living in the community. So we are going to look at a proposal of offering the Garda stations that have closed down to convert some of them in the isolated areas, to convert them into homes and ask Gardaí to take up residence in them.
Right.
Not as a Garda station, but I suppose as an off-duty Garda presence in it. And I think members of the force, especially the younger members that cannot afford to get a mortgage, I think that's something that we're going to look at almost immediately if they get into government. And that's a move that I like, that I think is a very positive move.
And is there a vacant Garda station around Belclare, for instance?
Well, we'll talk about, there is property owned by the Office of Public Works in Kinvara, in Ballandurin, in Gort, and all those isolated areas. There is one in Corfin, but we have a sergeant there, but they're all over East Galway constituency. And I suppose the people out there listening to your programme can say, oh yeah, I know where there's an empty building for the last 20, 30 years or 5 years. And they can go and do something about that and look at it.
If I can just come in here, on the debate the other day, it was coming out from the Taoiseach, I think, that all these empty Garda stations, they really are very old, and it would take a lot of money to update them, and especially with the internet, there's no internet coverage there, and basic electricals, it's going to be quite a lot of investment, isn't it? So would there be any money available to do this? Would that come from County Council, or does that come from...
Well, first of all, no, it doesn't. The government have to fund the councils, and in fairness to this government, there's gone by, they have set up the Rebuild Ireland programme.
Right.
But what I'm talking about here is opening up old Garda stations as residential units, ones that I suppose will possibly not be opened as Garda stations again. So that doesn't take the same infrastructure.
Right.
We see the rollout of broadband, in particular by private companies over here, and they are plenty good enough for people that are living in residential, I suppose, residential areas rurally, until the national broadband plan is actually rolled out in its entirety over the next 10 years.
But I think there would still have to be some money set aside for each of those houses to be brought up to current environmental and
building control regulations.
Yeah.
And that is part of the funding that we are going to look at to do Yeah,
okay.
But not alone, and I don't want to confuse anyone here really, but it's not alone for those buildings that are owned by the OPW, but it's also for other older houses. We're looking at putting in a grant for people who want to go into areas to do up older houses as well, the ones that have been left dilapidated. So, you know, that's going to be done at some stage. I would imagine over the next 12 months that, in particular, I think if Fianna Fáil get into government, we will announce something like that.
Oh, I would be so happy about that, because I go around the country a lot and I see so many empty buildings.
And it's shocking.
With, you know, 20, 30 years, and I don't understand why someone hasn't just moved in and what they have to do. So that's a welcome.
It is welcome,
very welcome.
And you just mentioned there Fianna Fáil in government. What's your own feeling in relation to the opinion polls and how you feel a government will be formed?
Well, first of all, we have to look at the opinion polls. I suppose it's very hard to take one and say, is that it? I think there's been 8 or 9 opinion polls taken over the last 3 weeks. It looked like Fianna Fáil are on the pathway to being in government. It looks like that it will be another coalition government.
Right.
I would imagine it will be packed with like-minded independents, and it could end up being a confidence supply arrangement of Fine Gael again. I'm not really sure how that will fall. We see one particular poll where Fine Gael are at 19%
at
the moment.
I
think if they're down at 19%, I think that almost rules them out for confidence supply if Fianna Fáil are hopefully going to come back with 60 seats, because they won't be big enough to do a proper confidence and supply, because I suppose Fianna Fáil had a higher number at that at 40 plus seats the last time. I suppose one of the big concerns I hear, and I've been to the marts, I've been to Gort and Loughrea and Headford this morning, and I've been to those marts, and they're very concerned about Fianna Fáil going into government with the Greens. But I suppose my plan and what I intend to say to those that are wondering, you know, I think it's very important that if we do go into power with the Greens, that they have no hand, act or part in the agricultural policy. And I would be recommending personally that the Green ministers would be made senior ministers if they're taking that for the likes of Foreign Affairs affairs where we can get them out of the country and not getting involved in what we need to do here, which is live trade to create competition within the beef market. That's my focus if I get elected, is to ensure that we have a concentrated effort on live trade to create a competition within the industry outside of here. And also we need to take tight control of the beef that's coming in within Europe, in particular from Poland and these countries, to ensure they're not being stamped as boar beer and we're not selling European produce as Irish beef in any other country. I think that's important. But the CAP reform, I suppose, is coming up in 2020. We need to renegotiate that. I know in 1987 my father was instrumental in getting this area designated as a severely disadvantaged area. I hope to ensure that we maintain that and even increase it if possible. That's the most important document in front of any government that goes in, is the CAP reform negotiation this year from that will roll out from 2021. I think that's probably where we need to be at.
I suppose I can't. I'm not speaking on behalf of the Greens, but I just to throw out to you, the Greens were in government before with Fianna Fáil, and the Green Party have said there was a comment made about they weren't ready for senior hurling that time when they were in negotiation. Is that right? But now they say they're ready for climate change, and that the other parties, including Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, are not ready for senior hurling when it comes to the green agenda. So what do you say to that?
Well, what I'd say to that is simple. We do need to get to carbon neutrality, let's be honest about it. And I think the best way of doing that is by helping the farmers to come on board with it. And we see schemes like, we hear people about letting hedge grow up, you know. But you can't do that unless you're going to reverse the greening effect that took part, where a percentage of payments was taken off the single farm payment. So there are very practical solutions to give farmers to ensure that they are made to both protect the land and, I suppose, be guardians of it. And let's be very honest here, you know. I mean, the farmers are the keystone of our economy. They need to be looked after. We can't have them isolated. And I'm sure people here remember when we had REPS system, REPS 1, 2, 3 and 4. That was called the Rural Environmental Protection Scheme. That was long before the Greens got into government that Fianna Fáil did that. And I would like to see, under this CAP reform, a new REPS system brought in where we are rewarding farmers for keeping their land, for making it more environmentally friendly. That's something that should be done. The farmers loved that scheme because it helped them get their farm up to date. And that needs to be done again. The GLAS scheme does not facilitate farmers to farm efficiently and environmentally, and that's what we need to get away from.
But of course, bringing it all back down to Kinvara here in the west coast of Ireland, we are mostly all farmers, aren't we? Not all of us, but there's a heck of a lot of farming in Kinvara and the townlands, and I see them have been struggling. I know quite a few of them, and that REPS scheme was really functional. It was very organised, and you knew what you were doing, and there was no surprises, and it worked, didn't it?
Well, it was a 5-year plan. You knew what you had to do year one, year two, year three, year four, year five. If you did something wrong, you lost money, and rightly so. And that's the way it should be now. But I wouldn't like to think people would regard CAP as just being for the farmers. It's for agri-industry, agri-business as well, through leader programmes. And that's very important that we know that that those that are living in rural areas, that they can get a job in rural Ireland. And by doing that, we need to promote enterprise within the localities, and that's very important that we say that today as well.
I've just got one burning question, and it's my bete noire, I'm afraid. Knowing that you are on Galway County Council as a councillor, and I'm just really interested to know if there's going to be any movement on the planning regulations on farmers using a piece of their land to build a house for a family member, because as far as I know, for up to recently, this was disallowed, no matter how important it was to that farmer. Do you know have you got any updates on that? Or is it just a general ruling from government?
So, I mean, I think anyone that knows me knows that I'm a very straight talker. And the legislation around planning comes from the Department of the Environment. There is a restriction put on every county development plan within the planning regulations about where we can build and what we can build. I don't like it, to be honest. I think anybody that's farming, one time if you had over 7.5 acres of land, you qualified as a farmer. It's very important there, I think, that we look at that legislation. Anyone that's a farmer, a son of a farmer or a daughter of farmers should be entitled to build on their farm,
yes,
live on it, support their family,
yes,
have grandparents living beside you who can,
yes,
support you in childcare costs,
yes,
incentivise that.
Correct.
And to bring living back into rural communities. I believe that one of the reasons I'm a candidate in this election is because I believe that the government that are there now have neglected rural Ireland, and we see that through some of the laws that Shane Ross brought in. I mean, the days of having one pint or half a glass of wine and driving home is gone. And I can tell you it was very difficult for a lot of Fianna Fáil members to sit in their hands while that legislation went through. I think you have a minister coming in today, they're here today to you. I think he should be asked the question. I think the other minister, the independent minister in the constituency, why are they allowing rural isolation to take place through drastic measures like the drink driving laws? I don't condone drink driving, but I don't see any problem with someone having a pint, going out to see their friends. I speak to people in my part of the world and this part of the world, and there are very isolated people living up around the burn in this particular area. It's very hard to sit in a house at night, look at the television and have nobody to talk to.
It's
a very difficult thing.
I have seen that myself because I lived in Cheshire, just outside Bell Harbour, and there's only one pub there and store, and regular, you know, Friday, Saturday nights, that was where all the farmers met, and they'd go in there and have, and you'd see them have a pint of milk and a pint of Tizer, not necessarily alcohol, and all that's gone now.
Like, why not? Why can't you have a pint? I mean, what's wrong with it? There's nothing. You know, you're not an alcoholic if you drink a pint or have a glass of wine or one gin and tonic and drive home. What you're doing is you're mixing socially. And the more we create rural isolation, the more what we're doing is jeopardising the pubs and businesses that are operating in it. Because if people aren't going down for the pint or going down in the morning for buying the paper, these local shops, they're going to close down and are closing down. So we need to reverse the trend. We're not all living in Dublin where we have Lewis and buses and all that kind of stuff. So we, you know, it's very important that we have a very concentrated effort in people living back within their own isolated communities. And I feel really, really strongly about that. It's what I'm about, to be honest. About rural Ireland. That's what I suppose my father was before me. We always believed in helping people in rural Ireland, and that's what I want to do if elected. And I'm asking people to lend me their number one vote. We heard that saying in 2011 when Enda Kenny asked Fianna Fáil people to lend the vote. Well, what I'm saying there to all political parties, I'm asking them to lend their number one vote to Donal Killalea so that I can do this work for you. If I don't achieve those little steps along the way, you can turf me out in 5 years' time or 4 years' time, and I don't mind that at all.
I think you're very determined.
I am very determined.
You will achieve.
And just before we finish up, Donna, and thanks very much for, you gave us great insight into what your passions are and your political beliefs are. In terms of ourselves here in Kinvara Community Radio, we have to pay the same hefty levies and insurance our licences to get our licence to broadcast. So what can you do or promise us from Fianna Fáil, as Micheál Martin says, going forward, so that we make it easier for us to survive, because we have to fundraise, church gate collections, table quizzes, membership fees. That's how we survive.
Okay, first of all, I don't want to be like someone who's smashing the government all the time. Fianna Fáil supported the amendment bill for the public broadcasting. The 30% increase that was put in place, or sorry, the increase that was put in place for the licence fee. We have asked that 30% of that funding be put aside for community radio. Community radio, regional radio, local media. That's what we need to invest in. I'm not going to give you a straight answer on how much you're going to get. But certainly I do believe that the funding that we pay, that I pay and you pay and your listeners pay here in TV licences, a portion of that should be made available to help you not have to do as much as you're doing. But it's also good to fundraise outside.
What is, of course,
because you're getting your name out there. I don't think you should stop that, but I would like to see, and I fully support Timmy Dooley, your near neighbour here. I fully support him in his efforts in getting to fund local radio, community radio, local media, print as well, and social media. And I think that's very important that we help you along your journey, because you help us and we help you, and you help the listeners out there of what's happening in local radio and get the message out there of what's happening, whether it's bingo or whatever's going on, that we ensure that we help you get the message out there to help cure the rural isolation in your own way, and the way you do it here, nice and kind. And that's the way you do it here, and I listen to your radio station anytime I'm passing it. It's not that easy to get the signal in tune.
No, it's not.
It comes in and out, in fairness, so sometimes you can get it. And I love the Maritime program particular.
Yes, it's very good.
I'm very interested in that. Is, you know, I couldn't. Yeah. I'm not able to rowboat Don't Mind Sailing, but I just love listening to it because it's very easy to listen to.
It is. Yeah.
And the great work the Lifeboat Service do is just fantastic.
It is.
And we hope we continue to support them in your locality here as well.
That's great. So thanks very much for coming, and thanks to Ray in your office for setting it up. And it is always lovely to talk to you. And the very best of luck on this day of week.
And
thanks
thank you,
very
and
much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here with you today.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Kinvara FM on 92.4, and you can contact us on mobile phone number 083-468-1472, and of course email is kinvarafm@gmail.com, and the website is kinvarafm.com, and of course there's Facebook Kinvara FM and Twitter at Kinvara FM. And we are now going to continue with our programme, Seamus.
Right, and before I introduce our next guest, just I should have announced the list of the candidates in the East Galway constituency. That's Deputy Kieran Cannon, Fine Gael, Councillor Peter Roach, Fine Gael, Deputy Anne Rabbit, Fianna Fáil, Councillor Donna Killalea, Fianna Fáil, Louis O'Hara, Sinn Féin, Marion Spellman, Labour Party, Owen Madden, Green Party, Peter Reid, Social Democrats, Martin Ward, Ian Two, Declan McCann, Ray Nua, Deputy Sean Kenny, Independent, and Minister, and David O'Reilly, Independent. So we're delighted to welcome Minister Kieran Cannon. You're very welcome.
Thank you very much indeed.
Lovely to have you.
Likewise, good to be here.
Thanks for coming in. And of course, you are an experienced politician and TD. How many years have you spent in the Dáil?
Yes, I was first elected to Galway County Council in 2004.
Right.
And then I was appointed to the Seanad in 2007, elected to the Dáil for the first time in 2011, and then re-elected again in 2016.
Right, okay, so you have great experience. And at present, your role is in Minister in Foreign Affairs, isn't it?
I'm a Minister of State in Foreign Affairs, working alongside Simon Coveney and Helen McEntee. My area of responsibility is twofold. It's for our international diaspora community around the world, of which there are about 70 million, very, very strong Irish communities across the world, working with them, ensuring that they continue to thrive and survive and protect their sense of Irishness and their Irish identity, no matter where they live in the world. And then secondly, then the other half of my role is I'm also Ireland's Minister for the International Development, our Overseas Aid Programme, predominantly on the continent of Africa.
Africa is a big area now, isn't it, for the EU, you know, isn't it?
It is, yes. The Africa is an extraordinary continent in terms of its age structures, in terms of its demographics. In about 10 years' time, there'll be, you know, it'll be the youngest continent on the planet.
Great potential.
Huge potential, incredible potential. Yes. And that's harnessed properly. For example, if you look at a country like Ethiopia every year has the whole workforce of Ireland coming on stream.
Gosh.
About 2 million young people coming into the workforce every year. So we're focusing a lot on the work that we do through Irish Aid on education.
Right.
Education at primary level, post-primary level, and indeed further education and training at adult level. So to ensure that when those young people do reach the workforce, they have the skills, they have the talent to be able to partake in the workforce.
Right.
Because the opposite of that would be a huge demographic and societal challenge for the whole of Africa. So, but we're making very, very good progress. And as I say, Irish Aid does have a major focus on funding and supporting education across the whole of the African continent.
Great. And where are you based? You're based in Athenry. Are you from Athenry?
I'm from a little place your listeners might have heard of it called Kiltulla. It's between Athenry and Loughrea.
Yes.
I'm now living in a village there for the last 20 years, a place called Caraban, which is about 5 minutes from Crockwell. So that's where I live.
That's where
my son grew up. My son was born and raised there. But I'm originally from a place called Kiltulla, Kilimer Daly, a hurling country, a bit like Canberra.
Yes, okay. Very strong in the heart of the country there.
Yes.
And tell us, how's the campaign going for you?
It's going very well. You can never tell, Seamus, how the... Yeah. We will know how well it went next Sunday in Headford when we all gather.
What's Headford, is it?
It's in Headford this year because the former councillor in UN is now actually in a different constituency.
Oh, is it?
So we're all moving down to Headford and congregating there, all the candidates, all their supporters, family, friends, to see all those votes toppling out of the boxes onto the desks and the count beginning. So, and to be honest, All I've ever said to my friends, I mean, and there are many of them canvassing as we speak right now, in Gort and between here and Gort today, all we ever say to ourselves and the challenge we set for ourselves is that when the campaign finishes next Friday night, which it will, that we can look one another in the eye and say, we did our best. All you can ask. And then ultimately it's up to the electorate after that to decide who they want to represent them for the next 5 years here in Galway East constituency.
What kind of issues are you getting on the doorsteps and out and about?
There are a number of issues. Obviously, there's the question of our health service and how it responds to the challenges that it faces. Questioning, the investment that's necessary to go into our health service. That investment is now being made, thankfully, but it's not beginning to have an impact yet in terms of the frontline service to the end user. So that's coming up on the doorstep. While housing, and I'm speaking to my colleagues who operate in perhaps the larger urban centres in Galway City, Cork, Limerick and Dublin, housing is an issue for them. It is an issue, there's no question, in our constituency, but not to the same extent as it would be in some of the larger urban constituencies. It's still an issue. And people are anxious, I suppose, to point out that we need to be careful in not running down rural Ireland, the towns and the villages that we live in, and that it has a significant potential in terms of how it can develop in the future, and needs to be invested in, and is being invested in, and that investment needs to carry on. Broadband, believe it or not, is a huge issue in many parts of the constituency.
Right.
I'm fortunate in the little village I live in Carraban, we have a private broadband provider called Lightnet, which gives us a great service, but there are still many parts of the constituency that don't have broadband. And if you look at some of the fledgling, indeed some very successful businesses operating here in Kinvara and just in this area of South Galway, for them broadband is absolutely crucial because they're connecting to a global audience, a global customer base. So again, that broadband is an issue as well, and again, that's being solved at long last.
And just to move on to, and I'm not sure, I presume you got the opinion poll this morning, doesn't make great reading for Fine Gael. How do you see the things panning
out in the end?
Ooh,
that's the difficult question. Polling company that carried out that poll, that was the first time ever to do a poll in Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland. They've never been here before. So we're wondering about the methodology, the conclusion they arrived at. There's another poll being published at midnight tonight by Red Sea, who publish a poll in the Sunday Business Post once every month. That to me is a poll to be trusted. It has been uncannily accurate in the past in terms of determining the makeup of the last Dáil. So that's the one we're looking out for tonight. But I think the most fascinating aspect of this election will be in the immediate aftermath of the election, as to how the negotiations around forming a government go. And what we really need is because we are now entering,
a crucial stage.
Absolutely crucial in terms of our ongoing relationship with the United Kingdom and indeed the United Kingdom's relationship with the European Union as a whole. The United Kingdom is our nearest neighbour. Our people have been crossing the Irish Sea for centuries. I'd say there's hardly any listener listening to us this afternoon who doesn't have a relative in the UK somewhere. And we need to be exceptionally careful in ensuring that the relationship that has existed between our two countries for centuries remains a cordial one, remains one that built around friendship and solidarity, and seeking to ensure that the UK's exit from the European Union doesn't impact negatively on jobs here in Ireland or indeed jobs in the UK. That, as I said, that is a crucially, crucially important part of the discussions. And if you look at the farming community in South Galway, if you look at the small business community in South Galway who export, look at, for example, what Declan Droney and the wonderful company is doing in smoked salmon and many others, they're exporting directly into the UK. So for us to retain a strong and fluid and seamless business relationship with the United Kingdom in terms of how we move goods and services back and over between ourselves and the United Kingdom, it's critically important for our rural economy, which is why, as I say, these next number of, and I would argue, and there are some saying these negotiations will be concluded by the end of the year, that is not going to happen. This is going to take somewhere in the region of 2 to 3 years.
Christina has a great in-depth knowledge of Brexit. She might want to come in there. Do you want to say something?
Well, it's all pretty depressing. After the phobia last night in London. The reality is that there's a whole year now, 11 months left now to finalise the deals, but the big issue is raising up on fishing. And of course the tremendous trade that England and Ireland does, it goes into billions. I think
Absolutely.
Into billions. And you know, for centuries we've been trading together.
Correct.
As well. And how do you, you know, there's another person in the middle of all this, the EU, that's going to interrupt that for obvious reasons, and this is what worries me. So,
and that is so true, Christina. And what's really important to point out here is that just in the immediate aftermath of the Brexit referendum, where that for me was a very disappointing decision by
yes.
the UK to leave the European Union, we were well in preparation before that, but once that happened, they immediately kicked into place a number of measures, a number of actions that had been set out in months previously, and we have been very, very careful to ensure that and particularly Simon Coveney and Helen McEntee have done an extraordinary job here, that we have sought and secured the solidarity of all of our 27 EU members in working in Ireland's interests, and I have to say in the UK's interest.
Yes,
because
yes.
the European Union also wants to retain a strong and close trading relationship with the United Kingdom.
Right.
Why wouldn't it?
Yes.
It's a massive economy of 60 million people.
Yes.
And to somehow erect barriers between the rest, trading barriers between the European Union and the UK, would serve no one's interest.
No,
so we need to be very careful in how we manage those negotiations. And I would argue the people, Simon Coveney in particular, that have been stalwarts in carrying out those negotiations, need to continue in that regard over
right.
the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's a pity that it hasn't been an issue in the election, because people don't seem to...
It's extraordinary,
yes.
And I suppose, you know, because the UK left yesterday and Ireland's interests to date have been well protected.
Yes.
There's not going to be a border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, thankfully. We're going to see the seamless movement of goods and services back and over across that border. Our peace is protected. That hard-won, precious peace that is
yes.
so important to all of it is protected.
Yes.
But people might assume that, well, that's the end.
End
that is
yes.
the major
yeah.
challenge resolved. It is not. I mean, that perhaps is the challenge in terms of protecting that peace, which is
yes.
hugely important to us.
Right.
But now the next challenge is, how do we ensure that every farmer, every small business in Ireland that exports to the UK, that their income, their livelihoods are not affected by the outcome of this
right.
next stage of the negotiation, which is ultimately all about trade and
yes.
that relationship in the future.
Yes. Just to move... Sorry, Christine.
Well, I was just going to... I've got two questions regarding... Kimbara,
sure. Yes, that's fine.
Okay. You're very well experienced, aren't you?
I love my job.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
But I just have to ask these two questions.
Sure.
So forgive me if it's putting you on the spot. But really, it's about the issue of housing for rental accommodation in Kimbara. Mm. You brought this up. And the reason I'm bringing it up is that the rents are on the limited amount of housing that's in Kimbara and townlands available is increasing because the value is going up.
Mm.
And we have had awful experiences from at least two people I know in Kimbara. One of them was a couple, they're in their 60s, they're just about to retire. This was last year.
And they're living here?
Well, no, they were booted out of their house
okay.
that they rented for 26 years.
Okay.
And the reason for this is that there was a huge increase in the rental. And the stress on this couple at their age was unbearable to watch, really. It went on for four months where they were there was lots of support for them, don't get me wrong, they weren't on their own, they
yes.
had all this support, but at the end of the day, at 60 plus, they had to move out of Kinvara because they couldn't find anywhere to live, and they're now happily living in Gort.
Okay.
Another question is really what our previous guest brought up, is the isolation of farmers. Now, I have actually lived on the Barron. I lived in Cheshire, just outside Pearl Harbour. So I understand where he's coming from. There's an enormous amount of farmers out there who are on their own.
Mm.
And traditionally, they used to meet in the pub, and whether it's a pint of beer or a pint of milk, which I used to see, or a soft drink. So that's going as well. So they're just my two comments. And, of course, we can't let you go without talking about the broad walk that you've managed to find the money
yes, yeah.
for us on
Community
that
Council,
and
yeah.
the road improvements, so there's
yes.
two positives there.
Yeah, okay, well, let's deal with that couple who found themselves in a situation whereby they had to leave the house they had been living in 2016, and there were no alternatives offered to them here in Kildare.
No, no.
And that would be replicated in a number of towns and villages, particularly in places that people ultimately find very attractive to live in. I mean, Kinvara is a much sought-after location in terms of people who want to live here. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's on the edge of the Atlantic. It's on the Wild Atlantic Way. It's on the edge of the Burn. There's a very warm, welcoming, diverse community here. So it's a very welcoming place to live, thus attractive to live in. And ultimately what we need to see happening is increased development, increased construction, more and thankfully there is some construction happening in Kinvara right now. But we also need to ensure that when we have developments happening in any of our towns and villages, and that there's a sufficient cross-section of housing options available in those developments.
Yes.
And, you know, social, affordable, and ultimately...
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, I mean... Within Fine Gael, we have stressed that that's absolutely necessary. We have ensured that when planning applications are made for large housing developments, that there is that proper mix within the housing development, that how should I say, make housing available to within all those different opportunities for people. And ultimately, the biggest challenge we face, and this is why, I mean, it's as simple as supply and demand.
Yes.
If there were more houses available for rent in Kinvara, the rents would stabilise, and that's what's happening in Dublin right now. Thankfully, they've stabilised because there's a stream of houses beginning to come on the market. But the biggest challenge we faced over the last, certainly 4 or 5 years, when I went abroad to places like the US and to Australia and New Zealand, I met Irish plumbers, Irish carpenters, Irish electricians who had no option but to emigrate after our economy went over the edge of a cliff in 2008. They are coming back, but only very, very slowly.
Yes.
And so the construction sector itself is still in the process of winding itself up.
Yes.
We need about 40,000 houses a year built in Ireland to satisfy just the normal incremental demand from population growth. At the moment, we're building about 22,000. So there's that gap to be addressed, and that's about investment. And we've committed, and we are investing the most we've ever invested now this year in 2020 since the state was founded in housing. And it needs people. It needs those with the trades and the experience and the engineering experience to see those developments happening. And thankfully, those people are coming home. And statistically, we've about 600 to 700 people coming home every week now.
Yes.
And they are, and I've met them, and they're making lives for themselves here. They're bringing their children home. They want to rear their children and have them educated in Ireland. So it's been a slow process, Christina, but it's finally beginning to happen.
It's what I would call forward planning, though, isn't it?
Yes.
This is not quick fix, is it?
It's not quick fix, no. But, you need the construction sector itself to be fully up and running and as active as it was back in the day when we were building an unnecessary 90,000 houses a year, but we're about 20,000 houses a year short now. And this year we built just over 20,000. Next year we're hoping to move somewhere in the late 20s, but we ultimately need to get to about 40,000 a year just to satisfy demand. And then when demand is satisfied, your upwards rent just stabilises, and the challenges faced by those people don't arise anymore. What was the second part?
It was about the isolation of farmers.
Farmers, yes.
The back end of
Clare. Okay. I come from a rural village, and all of my ancestors were isolated farmers. They lived down one in particular, a dead-end cul-de-sac rural road in East Galway, in a place called the Tymon. And there's a challenge here in terms of the way Irish society has developed, in the way that the pub is no longer functioning as a social centre, a gathering place for our elderly people. And there are many reasons for that. And one of them is, let's be frank, is that we now have very stringent drink driving laws that perhaps weren't as stringent and weren't as strictly enforced when I was growing up.
Yes.
But they are now.
Yes.
And we have one of the safest road safety records in Europe now. We've gone from losing about 450 people on our roads every year to well under 200. And that's been a success. But it's also made it difficult for those people you referred to earlier on to come to their local pub and to feel comfortable in doing so. And we have to continue, I suppose, to fund rural organisations. There are wonderful examples of them, Men's Shed, for example, and many others, who are giving alternative opportunities to come together, yes, other than the pub and other,
yes,
than alcohol.
Of course. Yes.
And we want to continue investing in that. We now have, for the first time ever, a Minister for Rural Affairs.
Oh, you have, right.
Michael Ring. That's the first time we've had a Cabinet Minister,
right,
huge budget, willing to invest in rural Ireland. And the kind of investments they're making are now beginning to have an impact in terms of men sheds, in terms of the other facilities that you need to see happening in order for people to have that opportunity, yes, to come together, but not have it centred around alcohol. And there are many other different
quite agree. We're not promoting the pub side of the farmer's life, but it is a way of meeting up with your fellow farmer.
And bear in mind also, and this might seem strange, but in terms of but there are 38,000 houses right now in County Galway who have no broadband connection.
Right. Yeah.
And that will be solved in 2 years' time. We're investing €3 billion nationally. So those 38,000 houses will be connected to the internet. Your listeners, hundreds of your listeners right now are listening to you. They could be listening to you from Boston, from Beirut, anywhere.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That in itself will resolve a huge amount of the issues around loneliness and around being in communication with one another, and around being able to talk to one another, see one another. I have a son who's living in near Chicago at the moment. I talk to him every day on the internet. I see him every day. When he gets up, he calls me. We kind of have a chat together. So that in itself will also have an impact in rural isolation. It's about acknowledging that Irish society is evolving and is changing. And as it changes, we need to look behind us to make sure nobody's left behind.
Yes, of course.
That's critically important.
It's very difficult to cover all these questions, but congratulations on the funding for the Broadwalk.
Yes, wonderful
and,
idea.
Our new road.
Yes, well, John Malidi and indeed others in the community council came to me and Joe Byrne and I about a year and a half ago and said, and this idea had been kind of floating around for a while, you know, about building a boardwalk connecting what I would call the village core with Dungura Castle.
Yes.
Because Dungura, I mean, just sit out there any day, the amount of tourists that are coming in there now is just phenomenal. And so John said, well, we have an idea. We want to build a boardwalk that would run just inside the harbour all the way out on the edge of the sea out to Dungura. So the first phase of that obviously would be to design it, to do all the environmental impact assessments that are necessary to build something like that, and then to get planning permission. And Joe approached Galway County Council and they said that would cost roughly about €120,000. We brought Michael Ring down here to the pierhead one day where he met with John Malidi and the Community Council, and he thought it was a great idea. So there's a fund called the Rural Regeneration Fund, which is a fund specifically to support towns like Kinvara in pulling themselves up and ensuring that they can survive and thrive in the future. So that's where that money came from.
Oh,
so
right.
The money is there now. It's Galway County Council has been allocated €120,000. They're actually beginning to design the boardwalk as we speak.
Okay.
Then they will be lodging a planning application, and then hopefully we'll get planning permission. And then once that's done, then we then go back to the department again and say, well, you know that money you gave us for planning permission? We secured planning permission and we now want to go ahead and build it, and then we go looking for the funding to do that. And I think it would be a wonderful amenity from two points of view. First of all, for those tourists, for them to be able to walk from Dungura in here, or indeed from here out to Dungura.
Yes.
But secondly, as a wonderful amenity for the people of Kinvara.
Of course, yes.
And indeed the people of South Galway.
Yes.
You know, so
quite
I think it's a great opportunity, and I'm really looking forward. I've seen some of the initial drawings and it looks really well.
Justin, the other thing, of course, safety is a big aspect of it as well. Just finally, and you touched on it there in terms of us in community radio.
Yes.
What can you promise us, or what do you feel Fine Gael will bring it? Because we have to pay a hefty licence fee.
You do.
You know, so, and we have to fundraise.
There's a review ongoing right now by Richard Bruton's department of how we fund and support broadcasting in the future. All the way down from the challenges that RTE itself faces
in terms of
its own resources and its own finances, right down to what you are doing here. And there's an acknowledgement because, you know, if you look at the radio, I grew up with, I mean, I remember 2FM going on the air as a young teenager, very excited about it.
79, 92.
But we grew up with RTE Radio 1 that we grew up with. We now have a plethora of stations nationally here, but we also have a plethora of stations, and we've streaming, we've Spotify, we've all these other things. So the whole landscape of broadcasting has changed completely.
Yes.
So we have to rethink how we support it.
Right.
And I would be very, very anxious to ensure that people who, like yourselves, who have taken the time and the energy and the commitment to have Kinvara FM on the air would be supported in at least looking at the licensing of it, because the last thing you want is to erect barriers in the way. And we spoke earlier on about rural isolation. Yes. Radio being beamed from outside the community centre into homes around South Galway is a huge way of addressing rural isolation, a very important way of addressing it. So that review is underway as we speak. They reckon it'll be published in the first quarter of this year, and then we'll see then what that looks like. But once published, it'll be published in draft form, and then there'll be opportunities for people to make pitches and submissions as to how exactly it.
Well, we want to thank you very sincerely for coming in and giving us a very open and frank interview, and thanks very much.
Thank
and
you.
The very best to luck to you.
Thank you very much.
In Saturday week, and thanks very much for your support so far. God bless.
So welcome back, everybody. This is Christina Connolly on Kinvara FM. You're on 92.4, and the name of the show is Kinvara Reporting, and we're here today with an extended hour to 2 hours covering the general election. We've had many candidates in last week and this week. So getting back to the details, if you wish to send us any text messages, our phone number is 083-468-1472, and it's kinvarafm@gmail.com and www.kinvarafm.com, and Facebook Kinvara FM, and Twitter is Twitter at Kinvara FM. So I've done the business, James.
Thanks very much, Christina, and best of luck to Ireland. That's Ireland Calls. They're playing Scotland this evening at 4:45. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, and they're in the All In St. Irish, we're back on the election trail, and we're delighted to welcome into the studio David O'Reilly, who's running as an independent candidate here in Galway. So you're very welcome,
you're
David.
You're welcome, David.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And where are you from, David, originally?
Well, I'm born in Scotland.
Right.
My parents are obviously Irish. In fact, there's a bit of a story there, but I won't go into it.
Right.
But I spent about the best part of 10 years in Kinvara, and had 3 children born down in Crashua there.
Okay.
So,
you know us very well then.
I do.
And where are you based now, David?
Claremanbridge.
Claremanbridge,
Kilcolgan area.
Okay.
So.
And you're running as an independent candidate, isn't that
right? I am. I'm a Patriot Independent, so that means there's a Patriot candidate running in every single constituency across the country.
Right.
So that might be Irish Freedom Party.
Right.
Or it might be an independent like myself. National Party too are running candidates everywhere. So this is a national movement.
Is it? And are you a registered political party?
No, I was part of the Google protests up in. I began protesting when I was just in London as a young lad, marching for Mandela and all of that.
Great.
And it was great to see
him released.
South Africa got a chance, and that's a legacy from our European history of going out to other countries and creating problems there, trying to resolve them. But now we're seeing another kind of problem happening, where other countries are coming, it's a reverse imperialism, where, for example, we're seeing populations coming into Europe, and that's changing our countries. And so it's a very different problem. So from going from marching for Mandela and looking for peace and fairness in South Africa, I'm now kind of looking for peace and fairness in Europe, in our home countries,
right.
You know, as a result of the kind of changes we're seeing now.
And you said that you're in the, what did you call it?
Patriot Independent.
Patriot. And that's not on the... Is that on your
I'd be non-party.
Literature?
I'd be non-party.
Non-party.
Oh, it is. Here it is.
Oh, it is,
Patriot Independent.
Independent. Yeah. And you said there's candidates in every constituency.
Every constituency. We're part of a global or European movement.
Right, okay.
Which is all about taking our countries back from globalist and international institutions.
Right.
So how long has this been happening then, David?
In Ireland, really, very recently. Across Europe, you're seeing it's a much longer process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But for us, we see Ireland now as pretty much a The whole country is almost a debt collecting agency for international financiers. So when you're talking about health, when you're talking about price hikes, insurance, all this kind of thing, it's all about paying back the unsustainable debt we have. And our belief is that we need to challenge the relationship between Europe and Ireland. And we're not going to do that by going to Europe and saying, please, can I be your friend? Mm. It's like when you're buying a car on Done Deal, you have to have a walkaway position. Mm. If you don't have a walkaway position, you're not going to get a deal. Mm. Right. So this is part of a I'm sure Ireland being such good Europeans for so long, a lot of people are going to be annoyed with me for taking that stance, especially on the day that the UK leaves the European Union. It's going to be very sore. But for me, it's a great day for the UK, and I would like to see, as you see in Italy, you've got Salvini is in a position to take control there, Le Pen in France. So that means three of the four main European countries are now challenging the way Europe is set up. And we need to be part of that. Right. That's what our appeal is to people, is that we need to be part of the challenge to Europe, okay, and not the best boy in the class.
And just to move on to the campaign, how is the campaign going for you so far?
Great. We've probably knocked on about 3,000 doors at the moment. Yeah. So we're really engaging with people, and people are, I have to say, there's no crazies at the door. You know, some people are annoyed, quite a lot of people angry, quite a lot of people are afraid and upset.
Yes.
But
what do you think are the top three issues you're meeting?
The top three issues is hospital,
right,
housing, the cost of living.
Right, you know. Okay.
How does the party see that then?
Well, we see all those as symptoms of our unpayable national debt, that we're all, and that makes sense to people, because you can vote for someone who's going to operate the system here, but it's all signed off on, you know. Right. They are really just stewards of the terms that we're receiving from Europe at the moment. Whether it's Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, it doesn't make any difference. We're still going to be in the same position, because we can't afford this relationship the way it's going, you know.
Right, okay.
Could I just bring up, play devil's advocate here?
Go on.
Well, there's 12 candidates, isn't there, fighting for three seats.
That's right, yeah.
And so listening to you, David, respect everything you say. You've got quite a fight on your hands, haven't you, to get in there, you know.
Yeah, to get our message across. I mean, this... The best any national candidate has done at the moment is about 5%, because we're only at this a year. You know, it was Gemma O'Doherty in Fine Gael. And, but there is a constituency out there that has not been listened to. 30% of people voted against Europe, up to 50%. 30% of people voted against marriage equality, and also against repealing the Eighth. Now, the Patriot Party stand for traditional values. Right. So this is conservative, Christian values, and a return to traditionalism. So we're looking to communicate with that 30%.
Right.
And if we get that whole 30% to understand and identify with us, we have a quota there. You know, so the potential for me to get elected in that 30% that just hasn't been listened to, that has seen Ireland change against their will, that's seeing a new Ireland that they really don't like and never did like, never consented to, and nobody asked them. Well, I suppose they did ask them.
Well, they did. In all fairness, there's referendums. That's asking people, isn't it? A referendum is asking people, isn't it?
It is asking people. Mm, and they were asked. They weren't in the majority, so you've got the tyranny of the majority now.
Yes.
And so those people, yes, they have been asked, but they very much feel that their answer hasn't been respected, and you know, it doesn't make any difference. And not only that the I mean, we're seeing a kind of cultural change now, where people are insisting on a gender neutral, nation neutral, identity neutral kind of Ireland. And
And are there other parties that are broadly similar, Arthur, would you feel, David? Are you the only ones?
National Party, Irish Freedom Party, Renew It to some degree.
Yes, that's
A&T. A&T, still very globalist on the, on the migration issue. We're tackling immigration. That's a very unpopular one. You would think that going around the doors that I'd have a hard sell to say we want to close the borders. Yeah. Especially when every third or fourth house is every third house is Brazilian or Polish or African. But in fact, those people want to talk about migration, and it's the Irish that struggle to talk about migration and immigration. That's what I found.
And where have you been focusing your campaign so far? Is it around Kinvara and Kilcolgan and Clarenbridge or Cork or all over?
I've gone for the big centres.
Have you?
I've tried to run as good a campaign as I can. I've had great support from great people. I mean, I'm a landscaper, but I had a barrister, two accountants and a techie with me canvassing in Athenry the other week. I have great guys coming with me. We have enthusiasm, you know, and we're offering an alternative. So the answer to your question is we started in Gort, went on to Loughrea and Athenry, and we're in Tuam now. So we've just Headford, Kinvara and Portumna and Tadhg. We've done the footwork and we've had a great reception.
And it's a big constituency, isn't it?
It is, but it's okay.
It's okay.
We're not going to get down the country, unfortunately. We did some old style handing out leaflets outside the church, outside Mass, you know. And we're hoping that that will go, some of those leaflets will go up the country. This is our first campaign as a as an organisation. We're just a year old.
I know.
And so,
and how do you think? What's your feeling on the overall position? How do you think it's going to pan out nationally, the election?
I mean, it's the most likely thing is it's going to switch from Fianna Gael to Fianna Fáil. Change, and a lot of people will be happy with that. You know, but a lot of people are complicit in that. You know, and
what do you mean by that, sir?
Well, they're complicit in. Consigning a whole section of Irish society to exploitation by the big international financiers who want a return on their investment. They don't care how they're doing. It's a housing racket mostly through the high rents and this kind of thing. So, you know, that is what is going to happen. The homelessness isn't going to get fixed and the health isn't going to get fixed. And if people vote for that, that's what they're doing, but they are responsible and bear
The brunt of it.
Well, not the brunt, but they bear the responsibility of what they've done, you know.
Right, just to move on to ourselves here in Kinvara, we're a community radio and we have to pay a hefty license to to broadcast, and we're under all the regulations, the broadcasting regulations of we have to be careful what we say and we have to be balanced and so on. That's why we make sure we invited every candidate in the area to come and talk to us, to talk to the listeners, really. So what would your policy be in relation to license fees for community radios?
Well, I'll tell you, but first I want to say thanks very much, and I really appreciate Leo, because there is a level of autonomy and a level of respect for the debate that national media really struggles to achieve with the corporatization of the media. And the big payments you have to make can be used to, and I mean, you have to be respectful of your of who's subsidizing you and who and how much you have to pay, and these things have been used to shut free speech down by intimidating radio stations and intimidating the media into trotting out the party line. And you know, that's a very serious situation that we're in. The person who asked me to run, Gemma O'Doherty, she was editor for features for The Independent, and she lost her job for reporting on corruption. She was the she's the only person in Ireland to have successfully sued Dennis O'Brien. But this, to be in that position where editors of significant pillars of democracy are struggling to hold the line on free speech, on the exchange of ideas and these kind of things, shows that there's something really wrong. And I certainly don't find it here, and I really appreciate you, you know, and Galway Bay FM having me on and talk to the people about what's happening. But I think there's a frustration in people, right. And I think people want to hear that the, you know, that there is
alternatives,
yeah, and that there is a, that the challenge to the media is being resisted. You know, I think people need to hear that, and they need to see it because they know it's happening. You know,
because you have to have opposition, don't you? And that makes changes, doesn't it? You can't just have it all one way.
Yes. Exactly. And some people will also say to me, "Why should I vote for you, Dave? You probably won't get in." But I would turn around and say the other way: why vote for somebody who is going to get in? Because they can't do anything about anything anyway. As a protest party, we get much more done. You know, we protested against the water charge. I was led the first water standoff west of the Shannon in our little village, Clarence Bridge. We won that one. We haven't won the Google protest yet. I mean, we also protested against the asylum industry, and very much an issue here in Kinfara. Initially, the government was saying that they wanted 1 million migrants to come into Ireland. That was Charlie Flanagan and Leo Varadkar stated that at the beginning of the year. Now, we had the protests all across in Outrard and everything. Very soon, Coveney was saying, we only want 500,000. Yes. And now they're just talking about thousands because we have scared them. Right. We have said we are not willing to see our country be changed beyond recognition. So, and I think in Kinfara too, there's an issue. You know, the local, okay, well, let me put it this way, unless there is protest, we may not see change. Taking place. And I think Kinfara needs to protest, or it may see those kind of situations develop further.
Thank you.
I won't say a whole lot more about
But
thanks very much for...
We'll give you the final word, David, in terms we'll give you... What do you say to the... What do you offer the people of Kinfara if you were elected? Or what do they get for their vote?
Well, what they get for their vote is we tackle the racket.
Right.
You know, a lot of people down the country are, you know, haven't got huge incomes. You know, they may be sitting on valuable properties, but their incomes from farming and from the beef and the rest of it is not great. And they're seeing themselves being denied planning permission and different things like that. And this is all about creating rental populations in the cities. Right. So their children may not be able to stay in the country, may end up being part of being in the town, getting exploited by the housing racket.
Right.
And so we're going to tackle that head on. Almost every issue in Kinfara in some way relates to housing. Now, the problem we have with the housing is it's the structure of the funding and the tax breaks makes it too ambitious, and we've seen too much building, programs that are too ambitious, that have fallen back, failed, and really devastated not only the business people involved in them, but also the people on the ground who have paid whatever for housing. And we need stability. The builders need stability. The property buyers and renters need stability. We need moderate growth. We're still a small country. We need to stop thinking that we're something that we're not.
Right.
So that's what I would be saying to the people of Kinfara. We'll tackle the racket at the top, and that's at Europe, by challenging Europe. So that's where we're going. We're part of a nationwide movement. You'll be hearing more of us. And as Europe goes on, you see that we are actually at the cutting edge of what's happening in Europe and in the world at the moment. So
Thanks very much, David, for coming
in. Thank you very much,
and the very best of luck in your campaign on Saturday, this day week.
Yes,
thanks.
We shall be watching you with interest.
Yes, okay.
Thanks, Christina.
Thanks very much for coming in.
Welcome everybody to Kinvara reporting on our extended programme today, which will take us up to 4 o'clock. And as we all know, there's a general election which we will go to vote on the 8th of February, isn't it? It's on the Saturday.
This year week, yes, that's right.
And last week we had 4 candidates in, and today we're having, is it 4 or is it 5?
We're having 4. We already had Councillor Killalea, we had Minister Cannon, we had David O'Reilly. We have Councillor Pete Roach, Fine Gael, and we've also Louie O'Hara.
Yes.
So as a result, we'll have 9 out of the 12 candidates. And we just want to let people know that we contacted representatives and some of the candidates, as Martin Ward of AN2, Declan McCann of Renew, and also Peter Reid, Social Democrats, but unfortunately they didn't get back to us, so we weren't in a position to interview them. But it was our aim
at
the beginning.
And of course, out of the 12 candidates, we were only able to interview 2 women candidates, because that's who...
There's only 2 candidates.
Only 2 for Galway East, isn't it?
That's right, that's right. So we're trying to contact Councillor Peter Roach. I'm just sending him a text now, so hopefully he'll be back on to us.
Okay, well then, I think what we'll do then, Seamus, is if we go back to last week's programme, and where I went along to Kinvara and met a few people. So let's just have a listen to a couple of the people that met there. So downtown Kinvara, and I have met another lady, and you'd like to give me your comments about the general election.
The things that would be priority for me would again be environment, refuse, the water quality. There's so many issues that are not a few months or a few years down the line, they're right now, and they really do need to be addressed. So that would be number one. And then I would also echo about the VAT increase on supplements, because that is affecting people who rely on supplements for many health issues that now have to pay an additional VAT, and I'd be very happy to see that being reversed.
Thank you so much for your comments. Rose, have you got any comments?
I have to say, I thought, and I did look at the television the last night, and I do honestly think that Leo Varadkar done very, very well. Very honest man, very truthful, said his mind, where we're at. You know, you have to acknowledge the past as well, and I thought he'd done very well.
Thank you very much, Rose. But you're actually from nursing background, aren't you? So you'd be keen on what issues are going to come up about the health service.
I would indeed, and I think there's a lot to be done there. You see, there's a lot involved. It just isn't a one-size-fits-all at all. It's very multifactual, and there's a lot of stuff to be done there as well.
Well, thank you so much, Rose.
Okay.
I'll let you go. We're still waiting for our candidate to phone in, so we'll just go on with another interview. So I'm here in Kinvara, and I'm just going around the town to get some feedback from the community about the forthcoming election, and I found this very lovely lady. Could I ask you, what are your concerns about the forthcoming election? Any questions that you may wish to ask a politician?
Hi, I suppose the concern would be about the environment and what they're going to be doing about climate change, because I kind of feel unless something's done dramatically about that, then there's no point in even thinking about the rest of it. And then I'm a business owner in the town, so I've been affected by, recently we've been affected by a VAT that's gone on food supplements, so I'd be looking to see if that decision can be reversed and we could go back to a 0% VAT rate.
Thank you so much for that comment. So I'm talking to this gentleman in the square in Kinvara. Would you have any comments on the forthcoming election?
Well, I'm just thinking of the people that have worked all their lives, some of them since they were 15 years of age, and retiring at 65 and are in a no-no position as regards getting their pension. I feel very strong about that. I feel that the over 65s, which constitute a big number in our population, are not represented in the Dáil or as a junior minister or anything. So I think that will be one of my priority when they come asking at the door as to what they're going to do for our senior citizens or, as I said, people over 65 and getting their pension at 65. That's my priority. And another thing is sorting out employment in rural areas and taking people out of the cities and maybe setting up factories in towns in rural Ireland and stop people commuting into Galway, into Limerick, into these cities. So there are just two things.
Thank you so much for that valuable comment.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're listening to Kimberra FM on 92.4, your local community radio, and this programme is Kimberra Reporting.
Well, what we might do is just to, for the benefit again, there's no harm to announce the names of all the candidates, and there's 12 candidates in Galway East constituency. The election takes place this week, Saturday, the 8th of February. Polling booths open at 7 a.m. in the morning, they close at 10 p.m. And we've heard this morning that the count will take place in Headford, and not quite sure where it might be, the school. New Inn is no longer in this constituency. So the candidates are as follows: Deputy Kieran Cannon, Fine Gael. Councillor Pete Roach, Fine Gael, who we're trying to contact at the moment. Deputy Anne Rabbit, Fianna Fáil. Councillor Donna Killalea, Fianna Fáil. Louis O'Hara, Sinn Féin. Marion Spellman, Labour Party. Owen Madden, Green Party. Peter Reid, Social Democrats. Martin Ward, AN2. Declan McCann, Renew. Deputy Sean Canny and Minister Independent. And David O'Reilly, Independent, who we just had. So we're hoping that Councillor Pete Roach would ring us any minute now, and he's out and about at the moment. So we also have Louis O'Hara as well, yes, joining us. So
when we've interviewed all the candidates, we will have about sort of like 20 minutes remaining, we hope, maybe 10 minutes. And I've done some clips on the British coming out of the EU at 11 o'clock last night, so I think it's really interesting. I've got a clip from Boris and Theresa, the Big Ben moment, when it rings, although of course the Big Ben itself isn't ringing because it's all covered up for repairs, but the Prime Minister's house at Downing Street had lighting to the effect that at that precise hour, 11 o'clock, on the strike of 11 o'clock p.m. Big Ben was shown on the houses on Down Street, and they played the big ring of Big Ben. Then to balance the their argument, we've got a little clip from Corbyn and Scotland giving their upset about what's happening. And finally, the main person who really stole the night was Nigel Farage, who was the only one who was there in the square and talking to the hundreds of people that were there. I thought it was very low key in the end, of all the euphoria of the build up of the politicians, and especially Boris Johnson with his enthusiasm and bringing it all to happen. It was very low key at the end of the day.
Was it? Yes.
Yeah, they had a party in Downing Street, but they didn't come out, and Prime Minister Boris Johnson didn't come out and announce anything. I think that's telling you something, that they're respecting those people in British House who want to remain in the European Union. So there we go. So we're waiting still for our guest.
Yes.
Yes, you are listening to Kimberra FM on 92.4, and our programme today is Kimberra Reporting, a special extension for 2 hours. We've got sort of like 35 minutes left of our programme today, and we're still waiting for our guest, Peter Roach, who's a candidate, and our final candidate was Louis O'Hara. So we're just in contact with Louis at the moment to see if he will take a mobile interview. Yes, you're listening to Kimberra Reporting on Kimberra FM on 92.4, and you can phone us on 083 468 1472, and our email is kimberrafm@gmail.com, and the website www.kimberrafm.com, Facebook Kimberra FM, and Twitter at Kimberra FM. And of course our sponsor for today is Murphy Heating. So it's been quite an event for Seamus and I over the last 2 weeks, 2 Saturdays. We've been doing an
awful lot of research, so I think this is our guest now. Hello.
How are you?
Hi. We meet up at last. Shane was just getting into his seat, so he'll be talking to you shortly. But welcome to Kimbara Reporting.
Councillor Roach, thanks very much for calling. Sorry, we were running slightly behind there, as you can imagine, with live radio. And thanks very much for coming on the show. Where are you at the moment?
Well, right now, I'm heading back to my hometown of Chum.
Right.
They're leaving from that and very positive camp, perhaps.
Right, and how is the campaign going for you?
Well, I have to say I'm really heartened with the response, firstly, on the door, despite what others might think or suggest.
Right.
It's very warm, very courteous, very friendly.
Yes.
And you know, I have to say that the issues that we all hear about, national issues, they come up now and again, but by and large, my candidacy has been generally very, very well accepted and well received, and that pleases me no end.
Well, that's great. That's good. Is this your first general election campaign, is it?
It is, surely.
All right.
Yes, I've been selected for the past year and a half, and
right.
You know, it's a great privilege to represent the party and to be a candidate, you know, seeking a door seat.
That's right. Great.
Surely.
And what are the issues that you're meeting on the doors?
I think primarily the first thing that crops up, I suppose, is health, hot waiting list, housing, and lack of homelessness. Not so much, I have to say, you know, in East Galway, but it is a factor. I think the other thing that concerns people is crime, rural crime,
right.
Very, very prevalent. You know, you walk into some homes and they are, the fear of God is in them because of the, you know, I suppose the daily, you know, conversation that people are having about, you know, crime, and it's not confined to any one village anymore. It's anywhere. So that's very obvious. And then, of course, you know, there was also some concern about those that are nearing the pension age, and how and why and if they qualify, you know, at the age of 66 or 67, there's some issues around that. Everything bar the weather, I suppose.
Right.
But,
okay.
You know, but at the end of the day, it has been very, very pleasant, and you know, I think people, truthfully, they want some certainty, and there's a bit of anxiety with regards to what is going to be the formation of the next government, and what they are really pleading for, I suppose, and with is that they would have stability.
Right.
That there would be a case of boom and burst again, dreadful situation where so many of our young people had to immigrate and migrate and leave rural Ireland decimated, and you know that the residue from that still exists.
Of course. And just in terms of, you said there, the you know, the outcome, I mean, the opinion poll this morning says Fianna Fáil are in 23, Sinn Féin 21, Fine Gael 19, Independent 11, Greens 10, Labour 5, Social Democrats 5, and People Before Profit 5. So as a Fine Gael candidate, I suppose you're not happy with that outcome.
Well, I suppose the first thing I would say is that, you know, I would have to be suspicious about the, I suppose, the accuracy of it or otherwise, but it certainly doesn't reflect the mood on the ground, and it certainly doesn't.
Kiola Vizcrack, Erkinbara FM.